B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tires Studios. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, 617-779-0985. Phil Vincent rocking you into the big show.
Phil Vincent of the band Cranston, named after the most hard rocking city in Rhode Island.
Absolutely.
The jean shorts capital of America.
I've been listening to this podcast about WRIF in Detroit, which I never really listened to when I was there, but when I grew up there. But it's their 50th anniversary, and it's funny because you talk about rocking cities, and they're like, you know, when the new music took over, you know, it just didn't fly in Motown. The riff was told over and over again. Don't play the new stuff. Now, Wayward Son is going to have to last for a lifetime.
What was the new stuff that they were referring to? Like, are they talking Pearl Jam?
Oh,
and Nirvana?
Yeah. Jam, Nirvana. Lay off my rock. Like, this is okay. This ain't some hippie dance. Like, let's get on. Let's. And then everyone, they're like, how well did you know Bob? And they're talking, of course, of Bob Seger.
Oh, I thought you were thinking Bob Ritchie. I was thinking Kid Rock.
I did too, but that's Bob. My own mistake is that I was thinking of Bob Ritchie too, is sometimes when they say that, but they are talking about the one and only Bob Seger, who's a guy, if you don't live in Detroit, that you don't think about very often.
Yeah.
But Bob Seger, very, very, because that station broke no bands, because they're like, you know, we have these flyers from back in the day. They put out this big concert guide, and they made, like, ABC just gave them money. They were owned by ABC. Mm-hmm. And so there's always these instances of ABC giving them a ton of money. So they put out this, like glossy concert guide that no one ever took. But they're like, you know, these great bands that were on there, like Rhythm Core and blah, blah, blah. And I just remember, like, there would be times I would listen to WRAF, like, when Use Your Illusion was coming out. And they were, like, teasing that they were going to be the first to have Use Your Illusion. So, like, me and my friends sat around, you know, all my friends, me and my, a couple of friends sat around, you know, waiting for it to come on. And I, you know, never listened to Riff, and just hearing these bands that they would, like, ew, like, just awful. Can we meet on common ground?
Oh, my God. Who? Oh, your walls are thick as stone. Who was that?
There's no room to be found. That is Rhythm Core.
The Rhythm Core. Oh, my God. Weird. I just, you know, it's so weird. You know, you're talking about these bands who are broken on radio. I'm just fascinated how you can be, you can achieve the highest pinnacle of success as a band, and you'll never forget, like, the first station that played you. A perfect example of that is, every single damn time, out of the hundreds of times that U2 comes to town, and out of the, you know, probably dozen times I've seen them, I see them every time they come into town. Every single time they mention Carter Allen and WBCN. Every single time they do that. And, I mean, think about it. You're U2. You don't have to do that anymore. You know what? Giving the guy one solid when you're on top of the world and you're playing it like Gillette, you know, that's enough. Like, that's something that would obviously forever, you know, you're in debt. You told this giant stadium full of people that you were the first person to play it. But, my God, Bono every single time is like, and I will never forget Carter Allen. And that's kind of a... that's kind of a cool thing, at least, you know, that out of all the things, that the amazing things that have happened in a band's life, the one that meant the most to them was the first time they were played on a radio station in I guess, America.
Well,
which
that's a one sheet that he gets before he goes into every, before he gets on stage in every city. They probably go, all right, you're in Boston. Here is
Oh, I don't believe that at all. Not for Bono, because they like go and hang out. As a matter of fact, he like requests Carter Allen backstage and everything. Like that is a weird. Whoa! What was that noise?
A fart.
Fred. I mean. Whoa.
Yeah, fart.
See how easy it is, ladies and gentlemen? You fart, you own up to it, you move on.
Yeah. I mean, do we even need to present the evidence? Guilty.
Chris
guilty,
Russo guilty. Could learn a thing or two. You
oh,
know
no,
what I'm
that
saying?
Was a fart. No, that was a fart. I farted. Absolutely.
Wow.
Nice job.
Thank you.
It was full, too. That was a nice, was a good one.
Yeah.
Your headset mic is, what, about 2 feet from the point of impact?
No, like a foot.
Point of
impact. Because I'm in a chair.
Your headset down by your crotch?
Yeah, because I'm, like, bent over the desk. And so, yeah, it's like, I would say that that's a foot. So, you know, not that doesn't get picked up by the mics at the station, but if you're at home, that gets picked up.
That was righteous. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I've had a few, but it was, you know, when someone else was talking or whatever. Like, they're never that like glorious and clear. That was crystal clear. That was a good one.
That's a lesson for the people. Is if you want to, if you're broadcasting from home, there's many times where you can just fart. And let the world know.
Now, is that a tease, a big market tease of things to come, or do you feel that was a one-off?
No, we didn't have a fart court today, so I figured I had to fill a show without farts was going to be.
No, what I mean is that like everyone wakes up sometimes and go, "Oh, it's going to be a rough morning."
No.
That's a one-offer. Okay, good.
Yeah. by the way, I'm looking at Twitter right now. And the Los Angeles Times says the sad reason why Louis Anderson was cast in Coming to America.
Well, I read about that too. I saw it was trending, and I clicked on the story, and it's kind of interesting. Apparently, Eddie Murphy told this story while promoting the new Coming to America movie.
Yeah.
That when they were making the film, the filmmaker said, "Well, there's no white people in the movie, and you need to have a white person." And they're like, okay. And so here's a list of three white people, and Louis Anderson was one of them. And I said, all right, we'll take Louis Anderson.
Who were the other ones? I'm wondering. Who got passed
they didn't
over.
Say. But I mean, like, you know, if
Dom DeLuise.
Right.
Who were like the funny fat white guys back in the day?
Yeah, exactly.
John Candy, you would think, was on the scene at that point. Wouldn't you go John Candy?
Yeah.
Over Louis?
I mean, Candy's not above a small role in a comedy. And by the way, this new Coming to America is not a good movie.
You see, I thought it was pretty funny. The barbershop scene is pretty classic.
Is good.
Yeah.
When they're dressed in like sexual chocolate at the time was funny.
It was great at the time, yeah.
Yeah, but you're talking about two scenes in a very dull movie.
I thought the McDowell stuff was kind of funny.
All these things you're saying, they were kind of funny. And like, okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't say it was like horrendous. It's just not a good movie. And the like amount of people just like freaking out about this new Coming to America is like the first one wasn't that good. Like, there's no way this movie's funny. Like, there's no way you're gonna go like, wow, I want to see that again.
I don't know,
like, that was really,
really
funny.
There's something, friend. You might be right. As far as the quality of this film, but there's something inside of me that just wants to see Eddie Murphy succeed, and I think it's because he was an a-hole for such a long time, and it seems like only within the last year and a half, he's kind of shown not remorse, but he's been like, all right, and he embraces the fact that he wants to go back to doing the things that were made him great, like doing SNL. I thought that was good, and doing some of his old characters, you could tell he was really trying. So there's part of me that's like, I want him to succeed now, because he was such a dick for so long, and he's finally realized, all right, well, maybe I handled myself wrong. So I watched I see the trailer for Coming America 2, and I get a little bit of a laugh when they're back in the old, and it's the nostalgia. The member berries are there too. So I'll watch it. I'm actually looking forward to watching it. I probably won't be thoroughly entertained, but you know, it'll scratch that itch that I have for nostalgia.
The thing in its favor is that it's available for home viewing, and it's essentially three sitcoms in a row.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you know, true. It's clocking in at 90, hopefully it clocks in at 90 minutes, and unless they go full on, why edit it down anymore, this is, we get paid either way, which is, you know, when it's not getting released and you don't have the pressure of getting an audience, you know, maybe they go like, eh.
An hour 44.
Okay.
Okay, good. That's
so
about
they
perfect.
Edit it down a little bit. So, yeah, it's, I mean, maybe you watch it in three settings if you're bored. But I can't see stacking away an hour and a half and going, like, I couldn't see watching Coming to America again. In fact, if you think about it, and I've gone with my kids and explored some of these movies, a lot of them don't. The beginning of The Golden Child. Golden Child was on TV the other day. And the beginning of Golden Child is just let Eddie Murphy riff, like, on the streets of Hollywood. And very, very long, and Eddie Murphy not putting forth a lot of effort. And sometimes it's best not to revisit these things because they are not what you remembered. I started thinking about what was Eddie Murphy in that I really liked, and then except for Saturday Night Live, and then it gets a little confusing.
There's only two Eddie Murphy movies that I, like, truly, really liked. Like, because, I mean, you know, who didn't? Beverly Hills Cop was fine. He was in a lot of fine movies. Like, oh, that's pretty good. But there's only two that I think are excellent. Like, I loved Boomerang. Boomerang, I thought, was a great movie. Like, all around. And all the different parts. Martin Lawrence was great. The what was the name of it? Grace Jones was great in that. The 7-Up guy was fantastic. Of course, you know, you got to coordinate. The dad was great. It was just a good movie. And then, shockingly, there's a movie that went under the radar that's really funny called Bowfinger that he made with Steve Martin. That was I don't know why that didn't become more of a hit than it was, but that was really
because
good.
Because he was poison at that time. He was
maybe, yeah.
He was box office poison at that time.
He might have been.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, that's the only reason it wouldn't do well is that they kept putting him in movies. But, like, Beverly Hills Cop's a very good movie. 48 Hours could never get made again.
No.
In a million years. I mean, oh, you want to talk about racism.
Yeah.
Because it's on TV sometimes, and, like, I'm like, all right, like, I wonder if, like, my kids could watch this. And then you're like, oh, no. No, this is you know, I'm no prude, but this is one that's not acceptable for the children.
Oh, sure.
But 48 Hours was good. Beverly Hills Cop was good.
Trading Places.
Trading Places pretty good. Is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we watched that on Thanksgiving, and that was okay.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not like a ton. Like, I mean, I like
The Distinguished Gentleman when he was the president? Wasn't that one of them?
Yes, in Norbit. I like...
what about Showtime?
The first time I saw Nutty Professor in a theater, that was pretty good.
You saw it in a theater as a man with no children, so congratulations.
The Klumps scene, when you first met the Klumps and they're at the dinner table and they're all farting and you're in a theater, I mean, that was a great experience. So I forgot about the first Nutty Professor. That was pretty good.
What was the movie I was just thinking of? The Eddie Murphy that I was just thinking of? The one where he has to choose between Robin Gibbons and Halle Berry.
That's Boomerang.
I love that movie.
Oh, yeah, Boomerang. But he's not funny in that at all.
But the movie's great.
Yeah, the movie's very good.
He's okay, but he's like the sixth funniest person in that movie.
Well, he has to, he has to settle for a frumpy Halle Berry at the end, who's 10 times hotter than Robin Gibbons. So there you go. But she doesn't wear the same clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine having to settle for Halle Berry. That was when he really got his. All right, Rich, what is coming up today? What is coming up next as we visit what happened last evening?
Something I didn't think I would say a week ago. How about them Celtics? Looking good last night.
Yes, indeed. We will be back in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Dutcher and Rich.
Five Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
The Celtics claw their way back above 500.
Kemba, catch and shoot, straight away three, got another one. Clippers got to figure this out. Paul George getting frustrated that Kemba keeps losing them in coverage. Six threes for Kemba now.
After what seemed like this team's worst stretch in years, the Seas have now ripped off three straight wins after last night's 117-112 win over the Clippers. And during that streak, they've done a pretty good job answering a lot of the criticisms that have been thrown their way as of late. A couple days ago, you know, one wondered if Tatum could close out a game, and he did exactly that against the Wizards the other night. Can Kemba get back to being Kemba? Well, last night, it sure looked like he was back, leading the team with 25 points. He's been really good over his last four games where he's averaged almost 25 points, six assists a night. And if you can get that Kemba on a regular basis, look out. That's exactly what Danny wanted when signing him. The other question over the last poor stretch of games was the lack of depth. Or what happens when Tatum and Jaylen have a bad night? Well, last night, Tatum really couldn't have played much worse for the majority of the evening. And it was stellar play by this guy and the bench that really saved his ass.
Kemba lob, Robert Williams, violent two-hand slap.
Zubac has no clue when Robert Williams goes up in the air like that.
12.6 rebounds for Robert Williams.
Robert Williams, a guy yesterday that John Wallet couldn't have been more wrong about, and I couldn't have been more right.
That's true.
13 points.
I'm watching him play. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
He hurt you.
He was great last night.
He heard you disrespect the Time Lord.
Rebounded the ball well, defended well. I mean, he did all the things he was supposed to do. Now, I'd like to see him knock down a jumper every once in a while. I'd like to see him make foul shots. But other than that, I think he's great.
Oh, he knows he's not making foul shots because even though he did last night, but he gets to the line, he's just laughing.
Yeah, he's just like at the end of the game. Yeah.
By the way, you know who's not good at basketball is a man by the name of Lou Williams. Oof. If I was the coach of the Clippers, I don't know how you put that guy. The offense would just stop at Lou Williams. Get him out of that game. Oof.
Yeah, he didn't have a great night. There's times where he's really, really good.
Yeah, well,
that was not
he was a woof. I mean, it's you. Just the ball is going to end at Lou Williams.
Yeah,
Lou Williams going to take a off balance fadeaway mid range jumper.
The Clippers moved the ball. The Clippers moved the ball so well last night. How many times did we see the Celtics scrambling on defense just to keep up? And then Fred's right. Then there was Lou Williams in the last 5 minutes of the game. Yeah. You want to talk about the ball sticking? But ultimately, he's been great for the balance of his career, especially as a sixth man.
What did Gorman say? What call him up? Like a ball stopper? He was saying, you know, that was his criticism at the time of Jalen and Jason. But I mean, but Robert Williams, you know, he 13 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks off the bench, just screaming for more minutes and making the Eagle look like a dummy in the process. he really has been very good and getting better every night. But more than anything, Brad trusted him on the floor in clutch minutes. And that is a huge vote of confidence for this guy. Here's Robert Williams after the game, who was a podium game for him.
Being on the floor in crunch time really is a major learning situation for me. Obviously, I want to make the right decisions, but you know, the more I'm out there, the more comfortable I get. And
yeah, so there you go. I mean, you know, you've seen Brad have faith in different guys this season, keeping him out there. Pritchard's one of the Pritchard had a great game last night. Pritchard's one of those dudes when he's on the floor, you just, you know, for being a rookie, you just trust he's not going to do anything stupid.
I don't know. All those 30-footers went in last night. I mean, I'm happy for him, but I mean, because he's
a good shooter.
Pritchard's
a good shooter.
I know, but I think if Brad Stevens had his wishes, he wouldn't have Peyton Pritchard firing up 26-footers either.
Yeah, but he also had a couple good lobs up there to Mr. Robert Williams.
Yes.
He's got a decent amount of chemistry going on with him.
I agree.
Although everyone seems to now. he's been very good. Well, Jaylen Brown afterwards was asked what's been different about this team over the last several games.
Definitely play with, you know, more intent to win. You know, a little bit less complacency at times and putting together a little bit better 48-minute stretches. And that's what it's about.
Well, at least they're realizing that. Well, it was also announced yesterday that both Jason and Jaylen will be in the three-point contest along with Steph Curry, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, and Zach LaVine. By the way, did you see who's in the dunk contest? Woof.
Well, they only have about 10 minutes to get it in.
Oh, you know? Boy.
It's at halftime in a game.
Who's in the dunk contest?
Anybody got Anfernee Simmons fever? How about Cassius Stanley?
Oof.
Obi Toppin? And that's it.
I recognize Toppin. I don't know the other two.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah. As I said, it's only it's at halftime of the All-Star game, Fred.
Fred, who does Cassius Stanley play for? Don't feel bad if you don't know.
I only know one Cassius, and that's Cassius Winston, and he's in the G League, so I don't know I have no idea.
He's a rookie for the Pacers, Fred. Come on. That's why he's in the slam dunk contest.
There's only one rookie named Cassius that we all have to keep our eye on.
So
play for the green and white.
3-point contest could be great, though. That's a decent lineup. Even though it's weird, you know, Jason Tatum not having the best, you know, he's a career good 3-point shooter, obviously, but this year's, I think, his worst from the 3-point line, even though he has been good this season all around. But that is, that's going to be. That's good. That's the only one of the All-Star things, including the game itself, that I truly enjoy watching is the 3-point contest. It'll never get old to me. It's pure skill, and it should be good. Well, either way, the Celtics were 10th in the East a week ago, and now they're alone in fourth and only 5 games back. They do look like a new team over the last couple of games. This has been refreshing to at least just see the effort there. Their final game before the All-Star break is tomorrow night against the Raptors. And obviously you can hear that here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. In the meanwhile, I don't know if you saw this, but when they went back to the studio with I had to flip over, and Kendrick Perkins was on the split screen. You know, he's been doing everything remotely, although he doesn't have the chair anymore because he's not at home. Here's how things went down on the broadcast as soon as the game was over.
Perk, everything okay at your house where you are?
Oh, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. What's wrong?
No, I heard some banging. Big Perk, out in Houston.
Hold on, Abby. Listen. I'm dealing with unique circumstances right now. I'm not in my house. I've been living in a hotel room for 2 weeks. I got 4 horrible children that's driving me crazy. Two of them, one of them is a set of twins that's 4 years old, by the way. I can't tell them to keep quiet enough. I mean, they literally are in another room slamming doors.
Okay.
yelling. I just don't know what else to do, Ab. I'm trying. I'm really
it's
trying.
Good to know if you're rich that you still have that experience. That if you cannot afford two hotel rooms or a suite and you have over one child, do not go out of town. Because it's not worth it.
Well, he's there not by choice. Remember, his house ruined because of the burst pipe. So he's
that's why I said it's. That's why it's, I said it's nice to know, even if you have a lot of money and you've been displaced. Because, yeah, if you're going out of town and you can't afford two rooms or a suite and you have over one child, to be trapped in a hotel room with kids, I don't care if you're in paradise. And that every waking hour is filled with great pleasure when you're outside of the hotel room. That time in the hotel room is going to... See, I had it made because we had two rooms in Florida when we were just there. And I snore. So, and my CPAP machine miraculously is broken. So, so my wife would sleep in the same room with the kids. And I would get up in the morning, and one of the kids would be awake, and be like, you know, Zoe, when she keeps moving around, or Zoe would say, Milo won't shut up. And my wife would then get up and be all pissy, and I would be like, oh, that's a shame. I can't believe you all had to deal with that stuff. If only you snored. If only you could snore, then you would know the true pleasures. So that is one advantage of snoring. So my advice to everyone is to start snoring and to never stay in a single room. With children. It's just awful. Just awful. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Is a surprise reunion in store for the Patriots.
Oh, all right. There are people being released around the NFL. We'll talk all about that in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, is there a surprise reunion in store for the Patriots?
Quarterback takes the snap. Two receivers stacked right, but he's looking left. And again, he's under pressure. This time, it was Kyle Van Noy. Van Noy, the newcomer, in his first appearance for New England, getting to the quarterback and wrapping up Kaepernick for the third sack of the day.
Well, in what seems to be a surprise to everyone, including the player himself, the Dolphins have released Kyle Van Noy after just one season. Kyle released in a statement not long afterwards saying, quote, I'm surprised and disappointed in their decision. As a captain, I gave my all to the team. I fought through a painful hip injury during the season, including spending time in the hospital after a game. I was brought there to be a leader. And I know my teammates looked up to and respected me.
He doesn't shut up.
Why would you say that?
Just shut up.
Why would you say I was in the hospital? I played through a hip injury. Why would you say that?
You know what? Emotions run hot. I mean, he had $51 million.
Calm down. Then talk to your friends.
I know. He that shouldn't have probably been released.
Yeah, emotions run hot. Yeah, you're pissed off. I understand that. But he's always crying about stuff. Remember when he was here? He was always bitching. He was bitching about someone at the station. He was he always bitching.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He
does keep receipts. Yeah, he does.
Keep receipts. It's a big crybaby. I mean, good, you're pissed off. I understand that. I mean, if you're going to be pissed off, at least act pissed off. Instead of, I was in the hospital and I'm a leader. Get out of here, Van Noy. You're 30. I mean, you would think that he was Ray Lewis or something. He's whatever.
Well,
he's 32. Get out.
So he signed
for the minimum.
He signed he's going to get more than that. He signed a 4-year, $51 million contract last offseason. But as we know, of course, NFL contracts are basically meaningless. He did make an ass load in 1 year. He got $15 million bucks for his one season. He had a pretty good year during his 14 games down in Miami. He 69 tackles, yow! A career-high 10 tackles for a loss, 6 sacks, 10 quarterback hits. He forced 2 fumbles, recovered 2 fumbles, defended 6 passes. That's not bad.
And it's very good.
It's not bad, and I mean the Patriots could use that.
I'll tell you what, give me the recovered fumble stat every day. The Patriots, they can take Calvin Noy for no money if he wants to play for no money. They want a 32-year-old washed up.
He's not 32, he's 29.
He's going to be 30 in 3 weeks.
All right, so he's 30. So take a 30-year-old washed up linebacker. Good.
Well, the McCourty twins, quote, tweeted a report on his release and added 2 eye emojis above a photo of Van Noy in a Patriots uniform.
Look out, Patriot fans. If they get Van Noy, it's Super Bowl bound. I can't stand that guy.
Take away his attitude. Take away the stuff he says about, you know, people and the boogeyman and all that. As far as the numbers and as a player, you don't think that the Patriots could use that?
I don't think that he's the kind of player I'm investing in right now if I'm the Patriots. I'm investing in people who have an upside that is going to take me into the prime of my team, which is about 2 years down the line. And listen, if they want to bring Van Noy in for cheap money and they like him and they think he's a good influence in the locker room, fantastic. But in terms of being a changer and a guy that's going to be productive for a Super Bowl team, that's not the guy.
It's. I agree. I mean, look, he's going to be on the wrong side of 30 in 3 weeks, and you invested a lot of picks here in a lot of linebackers, Winovich, Uche, Jennings, even Juwan Bentley. I mean, you got guys who are supposed to lead you into the future. Kyle Van Noy is going to be 32 or 33 before this team gets good again. I mean, how much money are you really willing to spend on a guy like that?
I'm wondering how much he's going to get out there. I mean, what do you think?
Not a lot. The cap has shrunk. He's damaged goods.
He's not really damaged goods. He had a good season.
They cut him. They could have. I mean, he's not going to make as much as he was going to make with the Dolphins.
Well, he was going to make a lot with the Dolphins. Probably make like $14 million next year. So he's not going to make that, but he might make $8 million.
That's fair.
Yeah, you can make $8 million for a team that's going somewhere. I think it's going to be tough sledding for Kyle Van Noy to make any kind of money, because a lot of teams are up against it with the cap. The Patriots aren't. But if I'm the Patriots, I have a lot of positions that I want to upgrade before linebacker. And there's a lot of people I want before Kyle Van Noy.
John, remind me, and maybe Fred, you know this. Didn't he take somewhat of a flamethrower to the team when he left? Wasn't there not a flamethrower? But as you know, Fred, Kyle Van Noy is one that likes to, you know, talk about what people say and things like that. He's not afraid to throw his opinions out there.
The boogeyman, as you mentioned. I mean, just the marketing potential of the boogeyman. Could maybe they'll bring him back to sell some shirts.
But didn't he say something about the team?
It sounds like something he'd do. I don't remember, but it sounds like something he'd do. It sounds exactly like what his MO is.
Lanny, do you remember that at all? Billy Lanny's in with us this morning. Because I could have sworn on the way out, he threw a little jab at the Patriots, and I'm wondering how that sits with either Belichick or, you know, the rest of the team, whether that would be something that would prohibit him from coming back. Well, I forget what he said.
Not the McCourty twins, because they eye emojied all over that piece.
They did. They hey, look at this.
Look at this. My eyes. Do my eyes deceive me?
You know, it's like Cocoon the movie. We might be old, but ooh, we play like the youth.
Yes, indeed. Exactly.
I don't know. You
do they
do
still
a lot
have a podcast?
The McCourty twins? Of course they do.
Okay, good.
Like, you're not listening to it. Come on. What
I
did you,
know.
What's your deal for
I know. It's when I'm done with Joe Rogan's 3.5 hours. Then I sit down and digest the McCourty twins.
Well, speaking of guys finding new homes, J.J. Watt yesterday did a super jacked press conference, and he was talking about how he was recruited to Arizona.
I give them credit. They attacked from all angles. I think Steve and Michael and everybody did a great job of, I mean, there were players, there were coaches, there were non-football people whatsoever that reached out and were in my ear and trying to convince me to come down here and tell me all the great things about it.
Those non-football people, Frank Caliendo and Blake Shelton.
Oh, yeah. What was that pitch like?
They don't know. They haven't said it. It's hush-hush. I mean, Yeah, Cali, you know, they said to him, hey, he's never been recruited. He was a walk-on. We talked to him about this at the Super Bowl one year. The idea that he was a walk-on at Central Michigan. What was going on with that guy? I mean, he's a behemoth. Just in size alone. I mean, Central Michigan's a MAC school. It's a decent program. I mean, it's not, you know, Michigan or Michigan State. But, you know, it's a D1 program. But still, you would think just based on, like, if you throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, like, you're going to get, like, some doors are going to open to you. It's just, if you're that big, wouldn't you just think that I could make something of this guy? So, anyway, they said that he'd never been recruited, so they were going to do some cutie recruiting thing for him. And then Frank Caliendo, who we like, and who's very nice to us. And they said, what did he do? And they go, I don't know, probably some Gruden thing. And so there you go. He sent him a fun little message. I mean, it's no James Corden. I mean, if I was trying to get to him, that's the first guy I'd go to. I'd go, like, I'll raise you Frank Caliendo. Or maybe I'd give him Rich Little if he's still alive. Give him someone else that can do voices. Or maybe I'd give him Russell Wilson doing himself a nice impression of Carol. But, yes, that was who they had. They had a fun little thing for him, recruiting video, and then they flew him in on the plane. The Arizona team they're having fun this offseason.
I found the Van Noy thing, and it wasn't on the way out. It was when the Dolphins eliminated the Patriots from the playoffs this year. There's an article in Boston.com that was talking about how the Dolphins – seemed to be relishing and finding some extra pride and getting revenge on the Patriots. Kyle Van Noy told Burt Breer, he goes, they kind of schemed us up the first time. I'm going to keep it real. They thought everything was good, if that makes sense. They were all laughing and joking. We remembered that, and we're in a different situation than they were. They were basically already eliminated. We just needed to basically finish it, and we did that today. I think the honeymoon's over. We got the job done.
Yeah, so that's, and then he did make the playoffs, and everything went on from there. So I'm glad he celebrated that victory. He kept it real, though. So good for Kyle Van Noy.
If he does anything, he keeps it real.
I mean, absolutely. Sometimes you got to just give credit where credit's due. And they schemed him up in the first time, but the honeymoon was over. There's no question about it. But Bill Belichick doesn't listen to those kinds of things. He doesn't listen to the noise. That's something I think that he absolutely would remember. But if the players want him and he'll play for no money, then I suppose that they could bring him back. But if they're in the business of bringing every discarded piece that was once on this team, that's not something that would excite me as a fan.
Cassius Marsh, let's bring him back and all of his Pokemon cards. Did you read that article about him?
Yes. Well, we talked about it while he was here. Is that the guy who had the crosses, under his eyes? Each eye, yeah. Instead of just one strip with the lamp black, he went the extra yard. Yeah, I remember that.
He's the one that crapped on the team when he left. Well, he's like making it rain Pokemon cards. He's basically become like this elite Pokemon card collector and Magic the Gathering. And I think he's even opened up his own Magic the Gathering shop. It sounds like I'm making this up, but I'm not. He's really like used some of his NFL money to open up a Magic the Gathering, one of the places that you drive by at like 10:30 at night on a Friday, and every place in the strip mall is closed except for the one light in the back where there's six dudes at like a table just rocking Magic the Gathering.
That's like the archery place that just had the random like medieval robe in the window, and that was the only thing that let you know that it was open.
That is Cassius Marsh. He is, I mean, he's got, oh, I need to follow him on Twitter. Now I'm looking at this. He's just tweeting out pictures of Pokemon cards.
Mm-hmm. Well, somewhere.
What?
If he opened that, where are you putting those cards?
Okay, DA. Now you have
everything is open for business, I'm told.
Gaming card fetish? I don't know what's going on there. That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Maybe these cards are of the Kama Sutra. Oh. All right. Very good. We'll be back coming up at 7 o'clock. We return to Brookline for Brookline 911. There's news about Terry Francona. His son seems like a great guy. And, I mean, I want to spend a good amount of time on Terry Francona's son. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, poor Terry Francona. We'll be back in just a moment.
stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Solak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Toucher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Party. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Let's finish up what happened last night.
Real quick, Jim Lyle posted a pretty funny question last night. It was, they were talking about how, I guess to get J.J. Watt, the Cardinals ended up getting Blake Shelton and Frank Caliendo to close the deal. And he was asking, what would the Boston equivalent of Frank Caliendo and Blake Shelton be?
Lenny and Clark and John Dennis.
Lenny Clark and John Dennis?
Yes.
I don't think John Dennis is a country star.
Well, he's a star.
Joey McIntyre.
He's a star.
Now we're talking.
You get the Joey Mac man. I mean, yeah. You just get the whole funky bunch. And just have him live with him. Have him show up to his house.
Right, just one of the funky bunch. Remember when like one guy from the funky bunch just like, showed up at one of our events and we had him on stage with us? It was just a rant. I wouldn't have known
didn't
if he was
just
in the funky bunch or not.
No, he didn't just show up. We would do that bit like where you had someone famous call in.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He was a member of the Funky Bunch. And and then we grew very, very close to the member of the Funky Bunch.
That was great.
He was invited to the event.
And I had no. And you know what? You could have told me that that was just some guy and he wasn't even a member of the Funky Bunch. And I would have been, yep, not surprised.
Well, he was black. Research. I mean, so we just assumed he was in the Funky Bunch. I mean, at that point.
Was everybody in the Funky Bunch black? I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know. But, I mean, a black guy showed up and he said, I was in the Funky Bunch. And he just went, okay.
We said, come right in.
We said, absolutely. Come on. You obviously were in the Funky Bunch. I mean, there's what could be the other explanation?
How much do you think the Funky Bunch made? Like, what did the Funky Bunch do for Mark Wahlberg? Because did they? Because I don't think they wrote
support, camaraderie, tour support. Cool. They put the cinder blocks on the bar for him to
That's
lift.
Right.
They
right.
walked longingly through the graveyard during that video. What was
All
it,
right, let's not start wild talking side. About the Wild Side video like it wasn't something that made you think about lost relatives and friends.
Like, I mean, what did the Funky Bunch do? Because there's a lot of them, and it just takes one person to press play on the old Casio for the drum beat.
Well,
so,
you know, someone had to go crate shopping to find the sample for Walk on the Wild Side. Someone had to dig through, like, volumes and volumes of records to find the sample for Feel the Vibration. I mean, there was a lot that had to be done. I mean, the legwork to put into the Funky Bunch. All I want to know is what the situation Mark Wahlberg had with talent scouts in the beginning of his career. Because he popped. They were just like, take your shirt off, show your underwear, and
oh yeah,
here we go. I mean, and he was a young man. That in Hollywood, there's a lot of people that look like Mark Wahlberg. And so I'm wondering what the whole casting situation was back then, because you hear stories about people, and
of course,
I mean, they just sort of willed him into fame. I mean, because think of how many like guys in good shape there are, and I mean how many guys could do what Mark Wahlberg did in terms of like the rapping and everything.
Yeah, but he was the brother of a new kid, so that gave him instant cred.
Yeah, no. It didn't. And so, again, I posed the question to you, what separates Mark Wahlberg? Now, you know, he's put himself into being a decent actor and everything. So, but what, you know, differentiated him from other people? Have you ever thought about that sometimes with celebrities? Like, what made him pop? Like, what did he do?
He knew the guy with the fake generals badges, apparently. So that's what got him.
Maurice Starr?
Yes, yes.
Kingmaker?
Which member of the Funky Bunch was it that was our friend? Was it Hector the Booty Inspector Barros, DJT, or Ashy Ace?
I think it might have been DJT because the guy we had was not inspecting booties. That was left up to...
That's Wallach's job. Yes.
Yeah, Wallach I don't think was on the show yet. But we got our own booty inspector. That's right. Someone who can pull down the glasses and say, ooh la la, me like he's the rump. But just think about that. Think in your own time. We don't have to discuss it on the air. If what made a young Mark Wahlberg... a celebrity. What was it about him? Because there's a thousand guys out there, a million guys out there that are in good shape, that are like 18, 19 and in good shape. Do you think that there's, out of all the guys that are in good shape, how many of those people do you think would be incapable of doing what Mark Wahlberg did in terms of rap?
You are totally dismissing his skills with a Z. I mean, that guy jocks a mic like no. He is fresh. All right.
Well,
Fred,
the vibration is good, like Sunkissed. Make you want to know who done this.
That's right.
The way to incorporate Sunkissed out of nowhere to rhyme it with done this. Oof, not good, not good. But the Funky Bunch guy was a nice guy.
Great guy. I just want to know what he did.
Yeah, I think he might have been the DJ.
Okay, his name is DJT, so I would assume so. So what did the booty inspector do? He just inspected booties? And Ashy Ace, I mean, what's going on there?
He had a lot of lotions and things that he would bring to the table.
That might be the case.
But I'll tell you, we had the DJ. The booty inspector, I think it's right there. I mean, he carried around a tape measure, and he would just, in a magnifying glass.
Tape measure?
Yeah, John, now you're talking, huh?
Yeah.
All right. He had a lab coat and a thing with a big like light on the top of his head, like a mining cap.
Excuse me, my dear, will you bend over?
He would just go to the club and shine the light on booties and go, excuse me, and he would, I need my utensils.
Yes, someone plus play on Frida, please. I need some help.
Yes, that's everywhere.
All right, no commercials here, just the headlines. When we come back, the good people of Brookline are complaining again.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.